What is your ambition? What is your ambition in life? I think that as we live life, our ambitions change. I was at the Rose Parade last Monday morning. I was down there with a million other people. It was a great time. You know, as far down on the route as we were, it took 1 hour for the parade to get to us. That's how far down we were. But one of the floats that went by was actually, maybe you saw it on TV if you were not there, it was actually five or six different floats. A little policeman, a little doctor. You know, it's interesting, in that series of little floats, there was no lawyer. The whole idea of the float was, or the floats, were things that you want to be. And as you were growing up, you thought about those kinds of occupations, being those types of things. But now, as most of us find ourselves a little ways down the path of life, what is your ambition in life? What do you really want to accomplish? How do you want to make your life count for something? So we're going to talk about this morning. It's interesting. In my experience in talking with a number of people who have spent their whole life doing one type of job, or maybe one job in a variety of locations, they're climbing the ladder, and there's nothing wrong with that, going up in their success. But when they get to the top of that ladder, they recognize that that ladder is leaning against the wrong building. That's what happens. That's what a midlife crisis is, I believe. People recognize, what am I giving my life to? I've lived 40 years, give or take some. And we recognize, what are we giving our life for? Is that ladder we're climbing leaning on the wrong building? Today we're going to look at a man whose ladder was not leaning against the wrong building. This man's ladder was leaning against the right building. His name is the Apostle Paul. We're going to look at what was his ambition in life. We're going to talk about that and just see how it can apply to us. If you pull out your outline, we're talking about what's your ambition. We're going to be in Romans chapter 15 today. But in order to get there, we first need to talk about a couple of other things before we arrive at Romans chapter 15. On your outline, we're going to begin first and foremost with Paul's example. So point one is Paul's example. And this is brilliant of me. I want you to know, it took me a long time to think this up. The first thing is, point A is to follow Paul. To follow Paul. Pretty brilliant, huh? Paul's example for us is to follow Paul. Now, the reason I put this in here is I've had discussions within the last month with people who have come into me and said, you know, I believe the Bible when it says what Jesus says to do, but what Paul says to do, I don't agree with that. I think that's kind of an interesting statement. And so one of the reasons I pulled out 1 Corinthians 11:1, and we'll see that up here. You don't need to turn to it. It's on the screen. It says this. Paul is speaking. He says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. So in the New Testament, in a couple of places, Paul says, follow my example because I'm following the example of Jesus Christ. You then follow my example. He also says that in Philippians chapter 3, I believe, in verse 17. Says the same thing. So I've had discussions with people and I say, you know, it's going to come down to the whole idea of following Paul's example is, do you accept the Bible as God's word? If you don't, then that's a whole other discussion. But if you do, the internal evidence from the Bible says, yes, we are to follow Jesus Christ's example, but also we are to follow Paul because he is following Jesus Christ. All right, then the question now becomes, well then, what was Paul's ambition? If we're going to follow Paul's example, what was his ambition? And we're going to be turning to Romans chapter 15. So if you'll open to Romans chapter 15 with me, let me give you just a little overview of Romans 15. Okay, he's finished up this long letter to the church in Rome. By the time you get to chapter 15 and verse 14, he just has some final comments. He shares some things with us. And he says in verse 14, "You have knowledge. I've written to you." Verse 15, "I've written quite boldly." Verse 16, "I'm a minister of Christ. I'm proclaiming the gospel." Verse 17, "In Jesus Christ, I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God." All he's doing here is just recounting, he's just overviewing what's going on. I'm moving down to get to verse 20. Verse 20 is the key here. And so, chapter 15, verse 20 says this: "It has always been my," what's the next word? "Ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation." All right, then to look back at this, Paul's example then, point B, is to share the gospel. And in verse 20 of Romans chapter 15, it was his desire to share the gospel where it was not known, where nobody had heard it before. That was his ambition in life, to do that and to accomplish that. Now, where was he going? Where did he want to go where the gospel had not been heard? Does anybody know at this point? It's okay, drop down with me four more verses, and he tells us. Look at verse 24. For Paul, what did that mean? "I plan to do so when I go to Spain." You know what? It was Paul's ambition to preach the gospel where it was not known, and for him, it was to go all the way to Spain. Now, in his limited world, that was the end of the earth for him. From Jerusalem to Rome, and then from Rome all the way to Spain. That was his ambition in life. That was his purpose in life. That is what he wanted to accomplish. Okay, in that little box then, in that box, it already has it up here on the screen for you. The idea then is to proclaim the gospel where it is not known. Where the gospel is not known. That was Paul's ambition in life. Now, so what am I saying this morning? I'm asking you, what is your ambition? I'm then saying, we need to follow the example of Christ, obviously, but also of Paul. Paul's ambition was to preach the gospel where it was not known. That needs to be our ambition. He is our example as he follows Christ. That is what we're going to do this year. We are going to preach the gospel where it is not known. That is what our goal is. That is what our vision is. Ken talked about this. I listened to the tape from last week, and Ken talked a little bit about this. I'm going to talk a little more about it in a few minutes, but that's what we're going to do. That's because that is what Jesus Christ did, that is what Paul did, and that is a model for us to do as a church, to preach the gospel where it is not known. What's your ambition? So we continue. We're just going to look at the rest of chapter 15. I'm going to ask you to drop down to verse 30. Paul's going to continue here with a prayer that I wanted to include, because Paul was a missionary at this point in his life. And we have missionaries here at our church. How do you pray for a missionary? What can you pray specifically for them? We're going to look at his prayer just briefly, because I thought this was very worthy of mentioning as he finishes out this chapter. Paul's prayer, point two on your outline, is Paul's prayer. And verse 30, let me read it. "I urge you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus and by the love of the Spirit, to join me in my struggle by praying to God for me." So he even tells us what he wants him to do. All right, and then in verse 31, he says this: "Pray that I may be rescued from the unbelievers in Judea, and that my service in Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints there." So when we talk about this, first of all, Paul's prayer, when you pray for a missionary, when you pray for a leader, pray for safety. That is verse 31. That I may be rescued from the unbelievers in Judea. Paul faced an incredible amount of opposition. And his first prayer was for safety. That he would be safe from unbelievers, that he would be safe in his travels, that he would get to his destination safely. Okay, look at the rest of 31 and 32. Let's see. Pray that I may be rescued from the unbelievers in Judea, and that my service in Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints there, so that by God's will I may come to you with joy and together with you be refreshed. The second thing he prays for is for the ministry. The first was for safety. The second is for the ministry. So that by God's will I might come to you with joy and together with you be refreshed. He says, when I come to you, I want to have great ministry with you. I want to serve with you. Now, when Paul went to them, he had to deal with some problems. Ministry does involve problems at times. But at other times, he said, I just want to be refreshed by you, by being with you. So pray, first of all, for safety. Second, pray for the ministry. Let me ask you this. In the missionaries that you know and that you pray for, can you pray specifically for their ministry? Do you know them well enough to know exactly what's going on in their lives and their ministry to pray specific? I think that's a great thing that we need to be able to do. Yes, it's good to pray generally for them, but you should know a missionary well enough that you can pray specifically for them and give specific requests. How are they doing? What's going on with their children? What's going on in their ministry area, whether it's in the United States or overseas? Pray for their ministry. Today, right after the second service, in my office at 11:45, I've asked a number of you to pray about the possibility of going to Russia. I have a meeting in my office for more information. Any of you that are interested, that would like to go and like to find out more information, can come meet with me at 11:45 this morning, and we'll talk about that and that opportunity. Because one of the things I am committed to is taking people and going. I don't think it does me any good to go now unless I take people with me. For any pastor to go on some kind of a mission trip and say, you guys go, and the pastor not go, I have a big problem with that. Now, the pastor can't go on every single trip, but many of them he can. But I think what is of more value is when the pastor says, I'm going and I want you to come with me and I want people to go with me because I'm committed to this, because the scriptures are committed to this. And so after the second service at 11:45, if you have an interest, come see me in the office. Okay, point three. What's your ambition? We'll come full circle now. What's your ambition? Think about it. For the rest of your life, what is going to be your ambition? We're talking here about this year, but for the rest of your life, what's your ambition going to be? Let's review for a couple of minutes what we've accomplished this last year in terms of talking about vision and where we're going. First of all, there's a blank and then a verse and then a blank on your outline. The first thing is our vision. Our vision. Matthew 28:19-20 helps us to overview that. It says this, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We've heard that verse for years, haven't we? Most of you know it. Most of you can quote it. Verse 20 then. I think it's on the next slide. Teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Okay, our vision is based on Matthew 28:19-20, what God has told us to do. Last week, Ken used this word a number of times, and he used the word growth. Okay, so in that little blank beyond the verse, put the word growth. Now, this is just not numerical growth. What we're talking about here is spiritual growth. Yes, are we concerned about numerical growth? Yes, there needs to be a concern about that. But more than that, I am concerned about spiritual growth and our growth in the Lord. To that end, last week somebody made $5 in this service, didn't she? What is our purpose statement? Every week it's on the front of the worship guide. What is our purpose, our vision? Say it with me. We exist to glorify God by leading people to become Amen. Fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. Not partially devoted followers. Not dabbling, give it a little try kind of. No. Fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. This is what it's about, folks. When we're talking about our ambition in life, this is what our ambition is to be. This is what we are to accomplish. Be fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. Okay, good. Second line. What's our target? We haven't talked about this a lot. What's our target? What does that mean? Galatians 2:7. So I am saying, you know what, folks? In one sense, anybody who comes to this church is welcome. Praise God. But I'll tell you what, we are in the process of narrowing it down more to a bullseye. And some people say, wait a minute, you can't do that. That's not biblical. Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Let's look at this verse. Galatians 2:7. Who wrote the book of Galatians? Paul. They saw that I, Paul, had been entrusted with the task of preaching the gospel to the
Gentiles.
Who did Paul target? He targeted the Gentiles. Just as Peter had been to the
Jews.
Who did Peter target? They were targeting in the New Testament. Paul would not have done his ministry the same way Peter did. Going to the Gentile audience was a completely different ministry than Peter was doing to the Jews. The idea is scriptural. It's biblical to say, you know what? Whoever comes is welcomed. But what we are doing is we are following the example of Galatians 2:7, and we're saying, you know what? We welcome everybody, but we are beginning the process of targeting unsaved. Unsaved people for Jesus Christ. That is our target. It's not Gentiles or Jews, so to speak. It is unsaved people. Quite frankly, it's taken a year to get to this point. We've made a lot of changes. And some of those changes you might feel a little uncomfortable with. I can tell you why. Because we're moving in the direction of reaching unsaved people for Jesus Christ. That's a great thing. That is what... All right, let me ask you this. WWJD. What would Jesus do if he came to our church? What were his last words to us? What would Jesus do if he came, folks? Let me tell you what he would do. He would start reaching unsaved people for Jesus Christ. He certainly would have a concern for those who knew the Lord and wants them to grow in the Lord. And we're working on that too. But our target is to reach people who do not know Jesus Christ. And you know what? Some of you in here are uncomfortable with that. It's okay. It's okay. If you have a big problem with that, come see me. If you can open this book and tell me we ought to be doing something different, praise God. But until we do, this is what we are doing. We're going to reach unsaved people for Jesus Christ this year. That is what Jesus Christ, if he came and stood right there, he would do that. So praise God, we have the privilege of doing that. This is something, wait a minute, don't look at it as something bad. Look at this as something great that you can be involved in. Next line, our strategy. What's our strategy? This verse you have heard me read a couple of times, and I'll continue to do it. It was he who gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers. Verse 12, please. What are pastors to do? I am to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Our strategy then, folks, is Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. I am to equip you to do the work of the ministry. Who is the key part of this? You. I will do this, but the key part of this is you will do this also, because that's the New Testament example. That's what God has told us to do. Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. So we're going to have classes. That's one way to accomplish this. And we've already had class 201. We're going to have class 301 here shortly. Then I'm going to come back and do 201 again and 301 to let people catch up and catch the vision for this. We also have Fundamentals of the Faith. We'll be starting in the latter part of January. Firm Foundation is going to start another run. And Mike Hornkel, in the next couple of weeks, I'm going to interview Mike. He's going to introduce a class too, so that we can help people become fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. That's what we're going to do. That's what we're about. You know what? We have the privilege of doing that. This is not a drudgery. This is a great opportunity that God has said. He could have just done it with angels, folks. He could have done it with angels. He could have done it with none of us. But He said, no. I'm going to send apostles and prophets and teachers. They're going to equip people, and my people are going to do my work. You have the privilege of doing that. I have the privilege. That should be our ambition this year. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for the example of Your Son as we study that in many different places in the New Testament. We also study the example of early church leaders, Paul and Peter. And they follow You, and we are to follow them. And help us to be people that recommit ourselves anew to knowing You and to serving You. In Jesus' name, amen.